Welcome back to the Oklahoma Today podcast. I'm your host, Ben Lucian, and boy, do I love maps. Oh, you want me to continue? Okay. Well, here's what I love about maps: the color coding. All the green parts are the places where I can go. All the blue parts are the places where I can't go, at least not for a very long time. But do you know who can go into the blue parts? Some kinds of animals. And really, there's no one better to tell us what kind of animals go into the blue parts than Ray Rowland, executive director of the Medicine Park Aquarium and Natural Sciences Center. They've been a huge attraction in the Medicine Park community since they opened in 2008. Ray and her teams also do some fantastic work rescuing wild animals in need. We'll talk to her here in a minute, but first, how about a word from our sponsor? You are called to be bold. You have a right to the best wireless service, high-speed internet, and customer service at a price that you can feel good about. At Bravada Wireless, we know this. That's why we put you and your community first. Bravada Wireless, the power of connection. So like I was talking about earlier, the blue part of the map, it's not for dumping your trash. Not at all. These are places where animals live, and lots of different kinds of animals at that. We're an animal-loving crew here at Oklahoma Today.
Yeah, we are.
But a lot of times we focus on the land-dwelling animals. Mm-hmm. So that's why I like our question of the week this week. I want to know, what is your favorite aquatic animal? And Nathan, can Fred swim?
No, but she does enjoy a bath. Uh-huh. She's the rare dog that actually likes getting a bath.
Yes.
But she's not my favorite aquatic animal. I struggle with this one because I want to be like, oh, catfish, they're delicious. But that's not funny. So I just, otters. Otters are adorable.
Okay.
Yeah, I love
otters. Otters are fun. Yeah, mm-hmm. They're a good aquatic animal. So I went with otters.
Mm-hmm.
So
they have otters at the Medicine Park Aquarium.
They do, and at the aquarium in Jinx. And mm-hmm. Carly and I got to have a great time last month watching them cavort and caper.
And you can see them at some of our state parks.
And you that's can true. See them yes, at some of our true. State parks.
I yeah. saw river otters playing at Natural Falls.
Ooh. Yep. And is Harry P. Otter at Sequoia? Or is he at...
I believe, yes.
Okay, uh-huh. Yeah. So, mm-hmm. yeah, our state parks have some otters. So I'm going to say otters get my vote.
Yeah, you can't really... if you have an Oklahoma aquarium, you need some otters.
I agree.
Or any aquarium, because I'm an otter fan. Carly, you like some animals.
I do like yes. a few animals. Uh-huh. I'm actually going to pick... my animal, I forgot that there was an Oklahoma connection until after I picked it. So I didn't pick it because of the Oklahoma connection, but blue whales.
Oh, it took me a second.
So, yeah. They're so amazing, and they're so huge. It's, like, hard to wrap our minds around, and, like, they have their own, like, language, and they sing to each other, and they care for their young, and aww. I just think they're, like, one of the most fascinating creatures. So, mm-hmm. yeah. We don't have them here, unfortunately, except in Catoosa.
Claremore, yeah. Oh, yeah, Catoosa. What did I say, Claremore? I'm not awake. I haven't had coffee.
It's an Eastern Oklahoma scene.
I've been coffee-free this morning.
Exactly. Photo editor Megan Rossman, your favorite aquatic animal?
I love seals and sea lions.
Yes.
I like the noises they make, and they have a good attitude. And
a good attitude.
They don't put up with guff from humans. Like, they will chase you and bark at you.
That's
and
true.
Bite you.
But then again, at the zoo, it seems like they're always putting on a show.
That's true.
Like, well, they're constantly. Being rewarded with fish.
Yeah.
So,
that's true.
Yeah.
Know.
They care about their fish, and
when we were in Hawaii,
so
there was
find
like
that relatable too.
The beach by our hotel, there was this like a couple times that a seal was there, and they like put signs all around like don't get any closer than this to the seal.
Oh yeah, I had a friend who used to live next to a marina, and like there was this big sea lion that would go sit on these people's boat, and like they would have to spray them with a hose trying to get them to leave. Like they just go where they want.
That's
I respect
cool.
them.
If you want to get up close to a seal, you can go to the Oklahoma City Zoo. It's one of their animal encounters, mm-hmm. and we got to high-five one.
I know. It was so fun. That was a good day. Yeah. That's hey, Greg, I know you're listening. Bring us back. Let us do that again.
Exactly. Kirsten, what is your favorite aquatic animal?
So it feels a little basic, but I promise it's not, and I still think that they're highly underestimated creatures, but a shark. A shark is my favorite aquatic
answer.
Animal.
Yeah.
They have an entire week dedicated to that.
I know,
but so many people, they get such a bad rap, and like, yeah, they could do bad things, but they don't actually like to eat people. They think we taste disgusting, truly. And honestly, a dolphin is more aggressive than a shark is, so like, sharks get a bad rap
stories.
For no reason.
Uh-huh. I like this. She's throwing grenades. leads, folks. She's got a hot take, and I'm here for it.
I love dolphins. Sharks are neat, but they're a little bit scarier, you know. But dolphins can.
They are not the innocent creatures of the sea that they appear to be.
They're not so innocent.
If you've watched King of the Hill, you'll know. And if you haven't, you should. That's all we'll say.
Thinking about. Yeah.
The more an animal can perform for you, the more
it can lie.
Devious.
Yeah.
Thoughts.
I have a really sad story about a dolphin, but I will not tell it here. It's completely inappropriate.
Let's not bring it down.
This is not a place for sad dolphin stories.
No. I'll keep it to myself.
We'll go to lunch later and you'll tell us.
Well, I'm glad Kirsten said sharks because my answer is a shark, but it's a specific kind of shark. I love the Greenland shark. Now, has anyone heard of the Greenland shark?
No. I've heard of it, but tell me more.
It is one of the largest sharks that, I mean, I think there's one shark that's larger, like the whale shark or whatever. But the Greenland shark is huge, and it moves at this glacial pace. Like, basically walking speed for all its life. And speaking of its life, it lives for forever. Like, guess how long the longest Greenland shark has lived?
300 years.
No, it's more.
What?
500?
It's five. The oldest one's been known to go to 500
years. Wow. Did you guys see...
from the time of kings.
I saw a thing on, I think it was ABC News this week, where they said they found a gray whale off the coast of Nantucket that they thought was extinct, like a species of gray whale that they thought for like 200 years they thought was extinct. And here, bam, here one shows up.
Around. That's so exciting.
Isn't that cool? Uh-huh. Yeah. So, I know. And it was just like right there by Nantucket, like where it should have been, that should have been seen it all along. It was weird.
Can I just say, the sea is very mysterious.
The sea is very mysterious.
Yes. Well, guess how?
Don't look up, if you don't want to be afraid, don't go on YouTube and look up mysterious underwater sound.
Yeah, the deeper and deeper you get into the ocean, it's very...
It's alien.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's really interesting.
Yeah, that's why I'm happy we live up here on land.
The female Greenland shark is not ready to produce eggs until she's around 150 years old.
Now that is a good age have a kid. You have acquired enough wisdom at that point to have a child.
Yeah. I think I might be ready.
I know, after 150 years, I might actually be ready to raise children. I feel like I had it together enough to do that. What did people say on social media?
We had some great answers. Haley Height Leg said the river otter, semi-aquatic.
Good answer, yes. Haley.
Haley, you've already heard that we're big fans of the otters. Felicia Rosca said coots. Have we heard of coots?
Is that fish?
Oh, yeah. No, they're a little duck-like thing. They're waterfowl.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Yeah, they're really cute.
So they have red eyes.
Coots, yeah. Coots are like, if you've seen the Star Trek episode where they...
You know we have.
Where they're in the other dimension, the evil dimension. They're like
ducks. They're like goatees for ducks, red eyes. Okay,
they're
got
like
it.
Black, evil red eyes. Ducks. And they don't, even though they swim, they don't have webbed feet. They have just like toe feet.
Do they have small beaks?
Yeah.
Okay.
Smaller beaks and smaller heads.
Okay.
Really interesting animal.
Interesting. Okay.
So good answer, Felicia.
Good answer.
Kimberly Osman said the seahorse.
I love seahorses. They're such good dads.
They're like aliens.
Yeah.
Sea aliens.
Yeah, we saw a bunch of those at the Jinx Aquarium.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That was fun.
I would love to be small enough to ride a seahorse.
Yes.
Just for a day.
Have seahorses be big enough.
Mm-hmm. That might be kind of terrifying.
No. I don't want seahorses to be that
unpopular
big.
Unpopular idea. Okay.
Honestly, I think we need to keep the seahorses more of a mystery. I think the more we know about them, the scarier they might be.
That's probably true. That's probably true of a lot of things.
Speaking of species that could be aquatic aliens, Barbara Dalton said the octopus.
I'm so glad someone said this. Yes. Yeah. Huh? They're so smart.
They are so smart.
Yeah, it's truth.
Yes.
Wouldn't you just not be surprised to find out that like octopuses had entire metropolises under the water that we just haven't found anywhere?
Oh, no, I wouldn't be surprised.
These are the kinds of thoughts that have fun not sleeping tonight, listeners.
And yeah, I could go another direction.
They got all them arms to build.
Yeah.
Yes.
Octopi. Sorry, octopuses.
Well, we have a great answer from Scuffmeister44. This is our favorite little Instagram dog who comments on Question of the Week sometimes. Scuffmeister said, paddlefish are so fascinating.
Oh, they are. They are.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you, Scruffmeister. Not only can you talk, but you have a curious mind. So, I'm a big fan. Well, paddlefish.
Thank
like,
you, Scruffmeister.
I don't know how paddlefish got into our lakes. They look like ocean fish.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. I at one point had a feature assigned about this for the magazine, and the writer just didn't. He kind of bailed on it without telling me. Mm. So we never got to discover the secret behind paddlefish. But I know that you can get a paddlefish fishing license, and it's big. It's a big aquatic recreation thing. Oh, yeah. And paddlefish roe apparently is very highly sought after in cooking.
Mm-hmm. It's like caviar, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's like, yeah.
Ew. that's what I think.
Not a big fan of caviar.
Leave the paddlefish alone.
Catching a paddlefish, I mean, it just looks like...
The photos always look cool when someone does it.
Yeah. And,
yeah.
It looks like basically noodling, like you're wrestling the fish.
Yeah,
basically.
It's like you caught a chainsaw.
To bring it up onto your boat.
Yeah.
We had another answer from Cheryl Solins, who said the pliosaur, which is... she went into the extinct...
Oh,
ranks.
Wow. Okay.
So the pliosaur is basically like a...
The Loch Ness Monster.
Like a dinosaur dolphin.
The first thing that came to my mind was the plesiosaurus.
Okay, see?
We used to have those in Oklahoma back a million years ago whenever we had an ocean, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I wasn't born yet.
Looking at Ben like he was there.
Ben knows.
Yeah, that was before my time, I'm afraid.
Ben is eternal.
Anne
he
Harper.
He always has been and he always will be.
That's true. Anne Harper, this is a real, she said a real dolphin, not a dinosaur dolphin.
Oh, okay.
Just a real dolphin.
Oh, okay.
What is?
Like what? She wrote a real dolphin?
No.
Okay.
But I just realized I compared the pliosaur to a dolphin.
Dolphin's a good answer. They're just a little, you know, they're not who they claim to be. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, they're smart creatures.
Yeah.
Former Oklahoma Today intern Cooper Marshall said,
Cooper.
I have and always will be a shark fan, but the gar is my favorite oaky fish.
Oh. I love the gar. He just,
the gar.
The gar.
The one gar.
They always look like they're smiling, yeah. I think.
Yeah.
They have kind of a dumb, like, smile right. on their faces.
Yeah. When I fished a lot growing up, and I thought I knew all the Oklahoma fish, and then I saw a gar in the tank, and that blew my mind. I was like, we have these predators lurking beneath?
Yeah, they are crazy-looking fish, for sure.
And then we had a comment from Oklahoma State Parks, which I presume is Chad.
Hi, Chad.
Yes, the giant squid at Lake Thunderbird.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes, the Oklahoma octopus, the giant squid.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Definitely
yet to be photographed.
Yet to be photographed, but the truth is out there. That's all I can say. Well, if you love aquatic animals, they've got more than a few at Medicine Park Aquarium, plus a lot of land animals for that matter. Let's go ahead and bring on Ray Rowland. Joining us today is Ray Rowland, Executive Director of the Medicine Park Aquarium and Natural Sciences Center. Ray, how's it going?
Good. How are you today?
I'm doing pretty good. So we're excited to have you on the show today. In our March-April issue, we have this big story about Medicine Park in general, and the aquarium comes up in that. So we're big fans of the aquarium here at the magazine, so we wanted to get you on the show for that. Ray, first of all, can you just take me through, how did you get involved in the aquarium in the first place? How did that all start for you?
Well, it started, I actually started out at the Jinx Aquarium with Doug Kemper, and I was his executive assistant there when there wasn't even a slab. We had built a shark quarantine building, so from the very, very ground up, that's when I started my journey in the aquarium zoo business, and worked there for several years, and Doug went on to other projects, and I left and did some other things, and then ended up down in the Lawton area, and I ran into him, and he said, "We're building another aquarium. Would you like to join in again?" And I said, "Absolutely." So that's been 11 years ago, just for the Medicine Park Aquarium. So I started with the Medicine Park Aquarium 11 years ago in February. So
very nice. What can you tell me about? So you said that you were in the Lawton area. What can you tell me about why an aquarium made sense in Medicine Park? Like why did that get started there?
How that got started in director. Doug Kemper is from the Lawton area.
Okay.
And he was supposedly going to like retire, but he wanted to build an aquarium zoo in Southwest Oklahoma because there's nothing like that in our area. All the kids around our area have to go to like the Oklahoma City Zoo or go to, and he wanted something that was in their backyard and that was native to Southwest Oklahoma because it's very unique in the landscaping and the animals, and then also to have some exotics. And so that was his dream to do this, and we are continuing that dream and adding new exhibits. But that's how it all started, was Doug Kemper.
Right. Very cool. So what can you tell me about the sorts of animals folks can expect to see when they go out to the aquarium? I know that you all have both a lot of local critters and also just animals and fish from around the world as well.
Yes. Yes. We have a total of about 850 animals. That's including fish and mammals and creepy crawlies and snakes and so forth and so on. We have a lot of the native animal, native fish of Southwest Oklahoma. That's when you first come into the aquarium. And as you go through there, you'll see we also have a small saltwater tank, which that's a preview of our phase two. So we'll have another building with saltwater, but it has horseshoe crabs, pencil urchins, and so forth and so on. And then again, more native fish. And then our very last gallery in the aquarium is Marvels of Mystery. And we have electric eel. We have, there's called knife fish, butterfly fish. So we have exotics from around the world. And then when you leave the aquarium, go out, we have what's called Turtle Town, and that's common snapping turtles, alligator snapping turtles, red ear sliders, and I also have a baby alligator that's out there. And then we have mammals and birds. We have a quail exhibit that's sponsored by the Arbres Foundation, and then I have a bobcat and a coyote exhibit. I have the North American River Otter exhibit that's sponsored by McCaslin, and that will be reopening. We've been remodeling that since November, and it needed a major overhaul, but that will be back open March 1st. And that's March 1st. We will be going back to our summer hours. Right now we're 10 to 4, but now we'll go back to 10 to 5, and we are open 7 days a week. We also have the Ethan R. Jenny Snake Shack that has the venomous snakes of Oklahoma, but I also have an Eastern Diamondback, which is not native, just for comparison. And we'll be breaking ground on some new exhibits this summer for the Doug Kemper Memorial Snake Shack. We'll be breaking ground on that and just renovating a few more exhibits that we have, bringing them up to date, so forth.
Mm-hmm. Would you say, I guess, the summertime when the kids are out, is that the most busy time for the aquarium?
Yes. Starting at spring break, it starts our season up really. And we get a lot of people from Texas and then, of course, Oklahoma. And so we have about a 3-week span that we're hopping. Plus, that's when we start our spring break camps. But then we at the end, you know, we have got March, April, and then May. That's our major field trips. Schools bring their, you know, the end of the year field trips. And so we get the schools in. And then in the summer, we get the church, groups, daycares, you know, different people book tours. So we do that, have that. And also we do have our summer camps. So yeah, our busy season is about March through the end of October. It starts slowing down a little bit, November, December, but we're still busy. There's roughly, I think, 2.1 million people that go through the wildlife refuge every wow. year. The numbers are growing. And so we're hoping that our numbers are growing as well, that hopefully that they're stopping and enjoying, you know, the aquarium. Cause we have 8 acres that were donated by David and Candace McCoy that we set on. So we not only do we have the aquarium building, which is about 10,000 square feet, we have the exhibits outside, and then we have our seasonal butterfly house that is will be opening up in May. That's and they sponsor the gardens as well. So it's beautiful this, you know, in the springtime, we get all the native flowers blooming and then we get our butterflies in. So there's quite a bit of stuff to do.
You said the butterfly gardens are opening in May.
Yes, the butterfly, yeah, and then we carry 6 species of butterflies, and then we get butterflies in every week. And then this year, what we're going to do is something a little different is we're going to announce the day that our butterflies are coming in, and if you want to come in just with the regular price of admission, you can come in and help release them with us, and it's really, really fun. It's neat to see how they're packaged, and so you open them up, and then you get this beautiful butterfly, and it flies out, so we're going to offer that to the public to come help release some butterflies.
Yeah, that's exciting. So when the kids come out, on their field trips or whatever, what do you notice them like gravitating to the most? Is there a certain animal or area that is like the, maybe one of the bigger draws for the kids?
Well, we have feeding experiences, and so the Turtle Town, when it's going to be opening up, usually we try to open around spring break if it's not too cold, but by May for sure it's open, and you can buy a little cup of food. We have a pole so you can hand feed the turtles. The quails, the same thing. The quail exhibit, you walk in the exhibit and the animals are actually in there with you. There's about 200 quail. You buy a little cup of lettuce and you can squat down and you can actually hand feed them. So that's really popular. But then we have what we call the critter chat, and that's from 1 to 2 every day. And we bring out an animal ambassador that you might not get to see, like a possum or skunk, or we'll bring out our baby river otter creek and maybe one of our exotic birds, and you get to get up close and personal. Maybe no touching, but like very up close and personal, and get education with that. So that's also very popular. And then throughout the day, we have different shows that biologists will bring out a different animal. It might be a native non-venomous snake, or it might be a lizard or something. So just to educate the public, because, you know, that is what we're here for. We're here to educate our school-age kids as well as adults on what's in your backyard, how important it is to our environment, and why we need to protect it.
Mm-hmm. Well, this question might be tough, but do you have a favorite in the whole?
I do. And we all of our staff members, I think, have a favorite animal that they've bonded to. We have a bobcat. His name is Lucas, and I purchased him from Rockwall Exotics in Northeast Oklahoma, and we got him when he was 6 weeks old. And so I had him underneath my arm and in my arms for until he finally went on display. But he is on display, and he's a great animal. But yeah, that Lucas is my favorite. So yes.
How old did you say Lucas was when you all got him?
6 weeks old.
How old is Lucas now?
He is going to be, he should be 3 this year.
All right.
Yeah. And so then we have
very
so,
nice. Yeah, we have well, two. So what? What's sort of the character of, I'm just curious, of bobcats like Lucas? How would you describe them?
He's a typical cat, except for, you know, his teeth and claws are a lot bigger and sharper, and we don't declaw them, or they have everything. And so when he goes to play, you have to just be a little careful because he's not mean, he's not aggressive. But when he swats at you, and I was down in the exhibit the other day, and I was back in the service entry, and he was wanting to play. And so I was playing with him a little bit, but when I went to leave, he was not happy with me. He wasn't being mean, but he swatted me on the backside and my jeans so you have to be careful with that. But
so you all are also involved in some like rescue type operations, right?
Yes, how do those
calls go for you all typically?
Okay, Nicole Brown, my deputy director, is a licensed rehabber, and so we get calls to for various animals. There's certain animals that we can take and certain animals we can't take because we are governed by the Oklahoma Department of Wildlife. And so typically we get skunks, squirrels, possums, animals like that, raccoons. And we did get a gray fox that we currently have. And what we tried our best to rehab them and then release them back out into the wild, because that is our ultimate goal, is to get these animals healthy, well, and then back out into the wild. However, there's sometimes some animals that they can't out in the wild, world. So we with our facility, and so that's trying to raise money for the fox exhibit, because she can't take care of herself. And so if we had released her, she would ultimately not make it. So that's why we keep those animals that released, or we try to find a facility that can take them.
Right.
And care for them. Mm-hmm. And then mom also, a lady here in Medicine Park that's a federally licensed, that and getting some hours in to be able to help rehab raptors, because that's a federal program and you have to have a special license.
Right. Okay. So yeah. So once again, what were some of the animals that you said that you all aren't able to take in?
That we are able to take? Yes.
Well, that you weren't.
Warren, I believe that the baby, the deers are off limits still right now. I don't think that we can rehab deer because that's ODWC has a thing on that. And I can't take any like raptors, like owls, mm-hmm. or anything like that. But I do have a lady, I get calls. And so I will call her, and then we will go pick it up, and I get that raptor to her, and I have resources that I can get to help those birds. So pretty much any animal that is furry, we can take, as long as, you know, as long as it's a baby and that we can care for it. You know, obviously right. There's some animals that are, if they're adults and they're hurt and it's not safe to get them, then we can't take those.
Yes. So this whole job, I mean, it would take someone who truly loved animals to even do it. Where would you say your love for animals first began to develop?
Well, I was raised on, we had a family farm, so I was raised with, you know, farm animals my whole entire life. And so my love began, you know, at a very, very young age, you know, with, you know, everything, horses, cows, pigs, chickens, you name it. And then, of course, dogs and cats. And one thing that Doug Kemper always said, he said, I like farm kids because they get it. They understand mm-hmm. that you have to get up and you don't get to, you know, have your breakfast, you got to get up and go take care of those animals first thing, no matter, you know, if it's freezing outside or 100 and plus degrees, those animals are the most important things that have to be taken care of. And so I've just learned at an early age, and I very much enjoy it, and watching the animals thrive, and, you know, they're healthy, and then people get to experience them up close and understand, you know, why that we need to protect them, and then also just how beautiful they are.
Mm-hmm. What area did you grow up in? Did you grow up around Lawton or where?
No. I grew up as a small town outside of Ada, Oklahoma, called Stonewall, Oklahoma.
Yeah, Stonewall.
So, I've heard of it. Yeah, you heard of Stonewall. So yeah, mm-hmm. we had a little 20-acre family farm, and, you know, we raised all of our own, you know, meat and so forth, and chickens and eggs and milk cows, you name it, I did it.
Right. Well, what can you tell me about How long have you been at the Medicine Park Aquarium?
11 years.
Okay. So what have you seen, how have you seen the town sort of develop in that time? Because I know, you know, things are starting to boom there in Medicine Park.
Yeah, it's changed quite a bit. Lots of people have made their vacation homes here. And then there's several, I think there's 60 plus Airbnbs here now. And so it's a great destination. I believe I just read that Medicine Park was, again, number one, one of the, you know, top 10 small towns in North America. So I think they've got festivals and different things that bring different people in, and nice little shops. And then now they have an aquarium, and we're trying to figure out if this is true or not. We're researching, but we believe Medicine Park is the smallest town in America that has an aquarium. Mm. But we're working on 100% yet. But we believe, because the voting population is like 300 people, 300 so people. I don't, you know, 300 plus, give or take, you know, a few. So and we're a year-round business that stays open, and then we're also we employ a lot of high school kids. We give them their first job, you know, in our gift shop or at Turtle Town or Quail exhibit. And then we do internships for biology. So we're a good starting place for a lot of young people to see if they want to go into this business type of business, and then get experience and get hands on. And so it helps the community, you know, all, you know, surrounding communities.
Yeah, I would say the aquarium probably plays a big role in the growth and development of Medicine Park as well, just because, I mean, that's a great family activity to kind of sell people on those rentals, you know?
Yes. Yeah. The aquarium. And then, of course, the wildlife refuge is a big draw as well. And then, you know, there's, you know, the lakes, there's, you know, kayaking and hiking and bird watching. And Medicine Park is a dark community, so a lot of people come out here to stargaze. And we are going to be that offering on, you know, the eclipse that's coming on April 8th. And so we're hoping people to come out and view the eclipse here at the aquarium. So, and we're going to have some different things for the activities for people to do and children to do on that day. So
so one of the things I like about Medicine Park is it seems like the residents of the town take a really active role in developing and maintaining it.
Yeah, a lot of the businesses as well, they do to try to keep Bath Lake is a very popular place in the summer to come swimming. And you can, there's different places that you can rent, like long boards and so forth. And so the businesses and the residents, they volunteer, but they'll to make sure that the flower beds and the gardens and everything look really, really nice down there. And so they take pride of it, that a lot of them, they take a pride in the town.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot to take pride in. I mean, it's a beautiful place for sure.
Yeah.
Are there any other events or developments going on with the aquarium over the course of this year that we need to know about?
We will be breaking ground on, like I said, the Doug Kemper Memorial. Snake Shack. We'll be breaking ground this spring on that, and then we have some. I had mentioned that we have some exotic animals. We have been donated from different people, 3 African cicada tortoises, and we'll be doing an. They have an exhibit, but it's a seasonal exhibit. So we're going to be breaking ground on that, where they'll be out where people can see them. But then in the winter, you'll be able to see them too. They won't be put up. So that those two will be going as well. And like I said, the butterfly house will be back open. And and hopefully if I can get the fundraising, I'll break ground on the fox exhibit as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's very exciting. Well, Ray, keep us updated on, what's going on at the aquarium. Hope maybe someday we can bring out the Oklahoma Today staff. We're gonna have a day.
Oh, absolutely. We'd love to have you out here, give you a special tour, get you some hands-on experience. That would be absolutely, we would love that.
We might take you up on that. Stay tuned. Well, Ray, thanks for joining the show, and I hope you have a great day.
You too. Thank you so much.
All right. Well, that was good. That place, yeah. Robert Reed's story in the current issue makes me want to go to spend more time in Medicine Park.
Yeah.
Kirsten, you grew up like hanging out in Medicine Park. You were telling me the other day how much you love Medicine Park.
Yeah, Medicine Park is basically my happy place within the state of Oklahoma.
Nice.
When I retire and get ready to die, I would like to do that there.
Said the 25-year-old.
You'll have a lot of company, Kirsten. There's a lot of retirees in Medicine Park.
It's such a good little spot, though. Like they've got the Wichita.
It's very warm.
They've got the aquarium. Mm-hmm. They've got amazing food.
Mm-hmm.
It's perfect. It's the perfect place.
I love it that our new person is 25 and already talking about being ready to die. And like, I'm like, you fit in so well here in Morbid, Oklahoma today.
You gotta be thinking about these things.
You know, it's important. Mm-hmm. It's important to have a plan. But to have a plan for a long, happy, healthy retirement.
I have no plan for retirement.
I don't want to talk about death. But Medicine Park could be a great place to retire. I think that's a great idea.
Well, I think we should plumb the depths of TravelOK.com's calendar for our weekly podvents. Is there anyone who would like to go first?
I'll start off.
Awesome.
So I'm not so much plumbing the depths as I am soaring the heights of the TravelOK calendar. But you probably know this already. This is something that's been stated. There are so many studies that show that classical music has massive positive effects on things like mood, mental health, and even on the body. It lowers levels of stress hormones like cortisol, which are bad for brain and body. So if life's got you feeling a little on edge lately, and you know, I know everyone's doing fine. I know everything in the world is completely okay, and everyone's doing fine. So this might not apply to you, but if you know, maybe you're not, I invite you to come hear violinist Ray Chin at the Armstrong Auditorium in Edmond. First of all, if you've never been to this venue, you should absolutely go there. It's a great place for a date night or just a little bit of cultural enrichment. Megan and I have been, not on dates because we're friends, but we've been a couple times for stories, and it's gorgeous. We went and actually listened to music one time.
Yeah, it has beautiful acoustics.
Gorgeous space, and there's all kind of like visual cool things to see in the lobby. Like
we watched some Hungarian dancers.
So cool. Yeah, and like all those like slabs of Azerbaijani marble in the foyer and all this stuff. Anyway, it's a cool place.
Opulent.
Absolutely very opulent. Perfect place to listen to classical music. And the performers they bring in are absolutely world class, Ray Chin being no exception. He's the winner of two of the world's most prestigious violin contests, the Queen Elizabeth in 2009 and the Yehudi Menuhin in 2008. So it probably doesn't get much better than that. If you're a fan of classical music, especially classical violin, this is absolutely the show for you. For tickets or more information, visit armstrongauditorium.org. I love that place. Yes. It's very cool.
And yeah. Like you said, they bring in so many really talented
yeah.
performers.
And they do, it's not just classical. Like there's like European folk things and like there's been some Broadway things. Anyway, they do a lot of really cool stuff. It's a cultural asset for the city for sure.
Oh yeah. National, if not world class performance venue.
Oh yeah, totally.
Kirsten, what is your event today?
So my event, we're actually going back to Medicine Park.
Nice.
Favorite place ever. It's good music, good food, and good vibes is what is awaiting everyone at Medicine Park's annual Park Stomp Music Festival. And the festival will feature fun for the whole family with arts and crafts booth, food vendors, and live music ranging from bluegrass, country, rockabilly, punk, and rock. Attendees are encouraged to bring their blankets and lawn chairs, set up on the lawn at the town center main stage, and celebrate the coming of spring with fresh mountain air. As the festival will last from May 15th to May 17th, all of the town stores, restaurants, and art galleries will also be open. And if you need any more reason to attend the historic cobblestone line town, alongside the festival will be the VW car show V-Dubs in the Park all weekend long. For more information, you can call 580-547-9528 or 580-695-7267.
That sounds like fun. I've always wanted to go to that. Park stomps always sound like a lot of fun.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're getting a lot of Medicine Park love onto this episode.
We are. Yeah. Well, it deserves it.
Thanks in no small part to Kirsten, of course. Megan, I know you're dying to share your event.
She's dying.
With us.
She's squirming in her chair.
On March 15th and 16th, say goodbye to touchscreen navigation systems, anti-lock brakes, power steering, and backup cameras. Because at the pre-war auto swap meet, it's all about heavy metal and all things analog. More than 1,000 vendors will gather at the Grady County Fairgrounds in Chickasha to sell and trade antique cars, car parts, and collectibles from 1895 to 1945. And this year marks the 34th anniversary of this car show, which attracts fans from all over the country and the world. Like Graham Clark of East Sussex says, lovely, lovely show. We've all done jolly well. While Cecil Church of Harrisburg, Illinois says, you're not only swapping parts, but you're swapping friendship. For more information,
Nice.
It is. Nice. I thought that was very sweet. These people come every year and they swap parts and friendship. For more information, visit pre-war.com.
Oh, wow.
Good times.
It's probably very fun.
The real pre-war era is the friends we made along the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the war with life.
The war on life.
We're all doing so well. This
we're
week.
Doing, great.
Doing great.
Yeah, then
we're doing okay.
No one's gonna check on us after this podcast.
No, we don't. No,
probably not. Because we have to do everything ourselves.
Carly, why don't you just go ahead and read your event?
I will. A renowned poet of the late 90s once said, if you're bored, you're boring. Not to argue with Mr. Danger as he sitteth atop his flagpole, but that's just not true. Take TokenCon, for example. At this three-day tournament, March 15th through 17th, the Embassy Suites Reed Center near Will Rogers World Airport will be filled with board game enthusiasts who are very much not boring, or not bored, at least. Attendees can try their luck at more than 1,000 game titles, including some brand new releases. They also can can sell their old games, purchase new ones, and get tips from special guests. Single day passes are $25 to $35, and you can get admission to all 3 days for $49. Gamers in training, which are kids aged 8 to 13, can get a 3 day pass for $29. Call 405-458-4263 or Google TokenCon for more info.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
I've been loving board games lately. Yeah. So we played Wingspan with my friends not too long ago. It was a bird-based game. And that was really, really fun.
Nice. Okay. Good times.
That sounds like a great event because sometimes the biggest challenge with board games is finding people to play board games.
Yes, yeah. You're absolutely right. And also trying out games, like not spending all of the money and then realizing you don't like the game. So it's like a good chance to like try them out and see like what new games you're into.
That's awesome.
Yeah. My brother's a big board game guy. And so I'm always getting at every family gathering just wrangled into these games. And sometimes they go over really well. Sometimes I'm wishing I could get out of the game.
There are some games. There's a Disney game called Villainous that's really fun, but it's like a 4 or 5 hour game. It's I just can't.
So it's like Monopoly.
It is.
Wow.
Yeah, the 4 or 5 hour ones, I like to keep it brief.
Yeah, like 2 hours is my max attention span for a game, I think.
Brian got us one to play with our friends one time that was called We Didn't Play Test This at All, and the whole gag was that it like they clearly hadn't tested it, and so it was just completely random. Like, there was literally a card that was like, you lose. Game over. And it's like, oh, I guess we'll start again.
Like, but then it would be that's one, it's fun like, one time.
No, it's like, but then it's like, play Duck, Duck, Goose for 5 hours or until someone gives up. Every person who gives up loses. Like, it was just this random. It was the weirdest. Don't ever buy it.
Yeah, I won't. I won't. Not until they've finally tested it.
No.
Well, I do have a podvent. So
Let's hear it.
I guess I'll read it. When I say there's a big meat run coming up in Disney, you might think I'm talking about some kind of new partnership between Arby's and Mickey Mouse. And as much as I'm dying to see that happen, the real big meat run in Disney, Oklahoma is a whole lot cooler. Although outdoor grilling from spectators is encouraged, the meat in this event refers to the beefy tires on either side of those rumbling ATVs that will be clawing their way up impossibly steep cliffs this Friday through Sunday. The annual gathering draws thousands of ATV enthusiasts and spectators to the Pensacola Dam in the South Grand Lake Recreation Area. And it probably isn't the place for you if you're looking for a quiet time with no chance of getting dirty. For the thrill seekers, though, there is really nothing comparable to watching drivers test their mettle on rugged terrain. Admission is free if you're just trying to watch, but expect to pay a $50 registration fee if you plan on competing with your own vehicle. Check out GrandLakeLiving.com for more information or call 918-261-8886.
Man, there is everything at Grand Lake.
Yes.
You can't do anything up there.
I would love to write a story about the big meat run at some point.
You should plan to go to it and write about it.
Because it is insane.
Take a few pictures.
Insane how many people come out to that.
That actually
is it's huge.
Total process stuff on the podcast, but it'd be a good front of book for next adventure issue. Mm-hmm. Be a good adventure issue thing. So yeah, you should go to it. You should plan to go.
Yes.
It's also, due next week, Ben.
It is coming up, you know? Well, it's time for our star of the show. I was thinking of giving it to river otters just because they seem to be the most agreeable creature.
Don't they deserve it?
Yes.
Don't they deserve it? Mm-hmm. Haven't they been overlooked for too long?
Or those mischievous dolphins.
They don't get to be the stars of the show.
I would vote river otters because they have little hands and they play with a rock like this, and dolphins don't play with rocks. So.
And sometimes they float on their backs asleep and they hold hands so they don't float away from each other.
That is
and your heart.
Cute.
And you see it on Instagram, and your heart explodes, and you're late to work.
Yeah,
they're very close, it seems, to raccoons, but even cuter, I'd say.
Much
and
cuter than
more
raccoons.
Playful
and less bound to be found in the garbage than raccoons.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's just
raccoons
because...
are cute, but they're a little white trash.
Well,
they're a little white
black
trash.
And white trash. Because they're black and white.
Maybe that's why I like them.
That's factual.
Yeah.
Well, if you like the show and you still can't... If you like the show and you still can't get enough, head to OklahomaToday.com or pick up our latest issue on newsstands right now. Send your feedback to OKTPod@travelok.com. We'll talk to you again next week. The Oklahoma Today podcast is a production of Oklahoma Today magazine, the Oklahoma Tourism and Recreation Department. Your hosts are Oklahoma Today editors Nathan Gunner, Carly Ibarra, Megan Rossman, Kirsten Stone, and Ben Lucian. Theme song, editing, and production help by Oklahoma Today's production manager, Bridget Sloan. For more information, visit oklahomatoday.com.
Goodbye.
I was thinking about doing my intro speaking whale, like in Dory, but I was like, I can't go there. See, you all do it better than me.
I couldn't go that high pitched. I'm like,